Thanks for joining us today. We want to hear how God is using our ministry to make a difference in your life today. Send your story to mystory@oceansunite.com. And we also want to say that if you are encouraged and you want to partner with our ministry, go to oceansunite.com, select the giving option that best suits you. And we want to thank you for your participation, and we want to bless you.
Last week, I started a two-part series in the evening, which is something we haven't done too often. I think I've done it once before. And we started it. It's entitled, We're Taking It. And that is really us as a church and as a people, as the children of God, desiring to take the city. But at the same time also, you know, in our individual lives, God has a plan and a purpose for us. And that plan and that purpose, that vision that He's given us, is something that we have to take. Amen. It's not just going to happen on its own. Amen. You've got to actually take it. Amen. So we saw last week, and I'm going to just touch briefly on it. How many of you were not here last week? Let me see your hands real quick. Okay, quite a few of you. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us tonight, and I'm going to refresh just real quick so that you can be on the same page as the rest of us, and we'll see what God does tonight. Amen. So I'm just going to read real quick out of Joshua 6, verse number 1. Joshua 6, verse number 1. We see last week how Joshua and the children of Israel were desiring to take the city of Jericho, which was part of the promised land, part of the promise that God had given them. And we see how they go into the city to take the city. Now watch what the word says. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. In other words, they'd already heard about the reputation of the children of Israel. They'd already heard about what Israel was doing as they were entering the promised land. God was giving them victory after victory, and they had heard how God's favor had been with the children of Israel, how they escaped out of Egypt and how they'd come to this place. And so because of the children of Israel, the Bible says that that Jericho was securely shut up. The reality is that oftentimes the enemy will do whatever he can to put a wall up between you and the promises that God has for you. That wall is what stands between you and the promises of God. Sometimes it requires something unusual for us to fulfill those purposes and plans that God has for us. Sometimes God will require us to do something out of the ordinary, like march around the city a few times and then shout and give praise when the wall hasn't come down. He'll get us to do something a little bit radical. Amen. But it's amazing to see what God says to Joshua. And this is one of the keys to fulfilling the plan and purpose of God for your life. One of the keys for us to be able to inherit the city, to take the city for the Lord. And this is what it is. In verse number 2, it says, "And the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king, the mighty, and the mighty men of valor.'" He doesn't say, "Listen, Joshua, I've given it to you." He says, "I want you to see." Everybody say, "See." So your vision, what God gives you, you must see it. It must be a part of you. It must be a reality to you. You will find, as God begins to reveal Himself to you and show you your destiny and your purpose and the promises He has for you, you will see it. Amen. You will begin to see these promises. You will begin to see this that God has for you. And one of the keys that Joshua had was he had the ability to see what God had laid before him. I said to a friend of mine a few weeks ago, and I shared this last week, that you know, when it comes to our gifts and the things that God has given us, yes, I desire more of that. We should. The Bible says that you should desire spiritual gifts. But I'm at the point now in my life where all I desire is to see further. I desire to see further, because the problem is I limit what God can do in my life because of my limitation with the sight that I have. In other words, if you can't see past being a U group leader, you will never go beyond that. Not that there's anything wrong with being a U group leader. Amen. But if God has something outrageous for you, you know, everybody's at the moment on this thing about Billy Graham, and with good reason, because he was a mighty man of God. Amen. But if you look at what he achieved, you know, you have to see that happen. I remember as a young man, I remember being in my room and I would have visions. I would have visions of preaching. I would have visions of preaching to crowds of people. And I used to think, and I haven't shared this too much, maybe once or twice, very quickly. You know, I would imagine myself preaching and I would see the crowds and I would see myself laying hands and touching people's lives and being used by God. But it would be like, that's me. How many of you know what that's like? That's me. You know, that's just me thinking and seeing. And I was one day at a conference, and at the conference, I was called out and prophesied over, and the words that were given to me was that what I see in my room, that was God showing me my destiny, showing me my purpose. Now, he didn't know what I was seeing. And of course, I did the real ugly cry. I mean, I was like, oh, like, you know. And I had a question. I'll never forget it. I had one question because God had revealed my destiny to me, and God will do this with you too. But I know that this question is the heart of many, in the heart of many of you, especially some of the younger guys. I can sense it when I'm around them because I had that question in my heart. And the question was, okay, God, I know you've called me to do this, but have you called me to preach? Have you called me to be on the pulpit? And it was in my heart, and I'll never forget during that prophecy, that same prophecy that night, he was prophesying destiny and da-da-da, and he said, and I will put you on the pulpit. And I will put you, and I was, oh, thank you, God. This is what I felt in my heart. So the reality is you have to be able to see what God has for you. And Joshua could see it. So, you know, I don't know exactly how God spoke to these guys. But I think we all think that it was like an absolute audible voice. And I don't know that that is the case. Amen. You know, we think that God came and,
Joshua, thou shalt seeth the promised land.
I don't think it was like that, to be honest. I really don't believe that. I believe that it was an impression. And, you know, perhaps they did hear the audible voice. I can tell you now, I've only heard one audible voice, and it wasn't God's, it was an angel. Very early in the morning once. And he kind of rebuked me, to be honest. So, Naomi's had like awesome encounters with, like, she has them. I didn't want to go there. She had amazing encounters. I'm so jealous of my wife. She has the most awesome dreams, and she wakes up and she comes downstairs and she's, oh, I had this dream last night. She tells me this dream, and I'm so jealous. But the reality, guys, is that the first key to inheriting and taking a city, to inheriting the promises, is you must be able to see. Now, this is something that I'm going to talk a lot about in the future because it is essential for a prophetic people. And listen, you are a prophetic people. You have the spirit of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy is the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. In other words, you have the prophetic spirit living inside you. You have the ability to speak words of edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. God will put it in you. He wants to use you. Amen. So you have the spirit, but we have to learn how to see what God is wanting to show us. Amen. All right, so that's the first thing that we see. Let's move on. Let's go to verse number 3. Well, let's just finish verse number 2. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I've given Jericho into your hands, its kings and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city. Once this you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat. I like that. Listen, the wall didn't just fall down. It fell down flat. You must understand, when you take what God is giving you and you begin to believe it and you obey what He says, and there's the second key, is obedience to God. This morning again, we spoke again about it. Right now, I believe with all of my heart, God is going to do something radical in His church. And one of the keys to the end time move of His Spirit requires obedience to His Word. Amen. Obedience to His Word. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Now watch. Let's go to verse number 17. Joshua 6, verse number 17. Now watch this. Now God's going to give Joshua instruction. Now before I carry on, last week I gave two keys. Key number one is to be able to see. Key number two is obedience to God. Now we know that they're going to take the city because they were obedient. Joshua as the leader was obedient and the people followed. But I want you to pay attention. And this is what God is saying clearly, as I've already said, is we must be obedient to some of his word. All of his word. If he gives a commandment, that's why Jesus said so many times, if you love me, you will do my commandments. If you love me, you will listen to my word. That's what he's saying. Amen. Now watch. Watch the commandment that he gives to Joshua regarding the wall of Jericho. Okay, are you all ready? Are you all okay? Let's go. Joshua 6:17. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live. And we all know the story, because Rahab was the one who helped them and hid them. And so God protected her. Amen. She and all who are with her in the house. Oh, that's powerful. You don't realize, when you're obedient to God in your house, listen, he will cover and protect your whole house. He will promise, he will protect your children. He will protect your loved ones. It may not look like God is doing much, but because of you, God will cover your kids. Because of you, God will protect your kids. Amen. Because she hid the messengers that we sent, and you, by all means, abstain, now watch, from the accursed things. Abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take the accursed things, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. Listen, when we disobey God and we don't obey his word, there are consequences. One of those consequences happens to be, we struggle to step into destiny in this new covenant. You must understand, the battle, as I explained to you this morning, is right here. So the enemy's raging with your mind to try and get you to lose focus of the promises of God. We have a better covenant than the old covenant. So we have grace, we have mercy, we have forgiveness. And God doesn't see as man sees. God looks at the heart. Amen. So God's interested in what's going on inside, not on top. Amen. Some of you will get it. Okay. But he says that if you touch the accursed things, if you take them, the whole camp will become cursed. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord, and they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. You can tell me, you can all think what that means. Okay, nobody gets it. Amen. All right, verse number 20. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpet, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the walls fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. So they were obedient. They did exactly what God wanted them to do. Amen. Sounds great, right? The people go in. They take the city. It's like an overwhelming victory. We all know the story, and we can preach a long sermon about shouting before you actually get your victory and all that stuff. But I want you to pay attention to something, because the third key tonight to being able to inherit God's promises for your life is one that many of us don't like. Amen. Let's go to Joshua chapter number 7. So now they've taken the city. But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zibdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribes of Judah, took of the accursed things. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, "Go up and spy out the country." So the men went up and spied out Ai. Now you need to understand that Joshua at this moment is oblivious to what Achan did. He doesn't know that Achan, out of all those thousands of men that went into Jericho, did not obey God's voice, did not listen to what God had said. Okay? So now Joshua is about to go into his next battle. So the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said, "Don't let all the people go up, but about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few." In other words, they're saying, "Listen, Joshua, we just took Jericho. That was easy. Ai is like really nothing in comparison to Jericho. Don't even bother with all the men of war. Rather just send a couple of thousand in. We can take these guys, no problem." Amen. Is there somebody here this evening? Are you guys here? Amen. So about 3,000 men went up from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, and they chased them from before the gates far as Shebrim, and struck them down on the descendant. Therefore the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Now you must understand, can you imagine? They know God's with them. They know they've had the victory, and the Lord's been speaking, and the Lord's been blessing them, and everything's going great. And all of a sudden they go in to a city that should really just be a piece of cake, and all of a sudden the enemy is just wiping them out. The men, it says in verse number 5, the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, and they chased them from before the gates as far as Shebrim, and struck them down on the descendants. Therefore the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes. Can you imagine poor Joshua? And fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening. He and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads, they put ashes on their heads, and they were crying out to God, and they were seeking the voice of the Lord, like, "Lord, why did you forsake us? What did we do?" And Joshua said, "Alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at El to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan." Listen, it's the first time I've heard Joshua speak like this. I mean, he's basically being like the children of Israel when they used to say, "Listen, why don't you just leave us in Egypt?" Now he's saying, "Oh God, why didn't you just leave us on the other side of the Jordan? Because this is ridiculous. You've forsaken us." Is that okay, guys? "Oh Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear it." In other words, they're going to hear that this little army was able to defeat the mighty army of Israel. They're going to hear, they're going to know that God is no longer with you. Uh-oh. "What will you do for your great name?" He says in verse number 9, "For the Canaanites and the inhabitants of the land will hear it and surround us and cut off our name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name?" Oh, we can have a whole discussion about that right there. Listen, he has a relationship with God. So now he's almost putting the ball in God's court. First he complains about how bad it is for them. Then he says, "Listen, Lord, what about you? This is your name. This is your reputation." Amen. And then watch God's response. "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'Get up. Why do you lie thus on your face?'" Now watch. "Israel has sinned." He doesn't say Achan has sinned. He says Israel has sinned. "One man sins, but God accuses them all." Just one man. Not the leader, just one of the guys in the army. Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken some of the accursed things, and have both stolen and deceived. And they have also put it among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies. You see, when we don't listen to God, when we don't obey His word, you must understand, in that day, you cannot stand against the enemy. Because it's His word that has power against the enemy. It's not you and your abilities or even your anointing. It's His word. When Jesus had to deal with the enemy, Jesus was very anointed. But it was the confrontation, the words, the battle was in the words. And Jesus could counteract everything the enemy threw at Him, not by might or power, but by the Spirit. And He was using the Rhema word of God. And Satan could do nothing. Therefore, the children of Israel, verse number 12, could not stand before the enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they have become doomed to destruction. Listen, this is hectic stuff. Neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed from among you. Get up, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow. Because thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes. And it shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes shall come according to their families. And the family which the Lord takes shall come by household. And the households which the Lord takes shall come by the men. Okay, let's stop there for just a minute. Let's go to verse 18. I want to just skip a little bit because there's a lot here. Are you guys okay? All right, verse 18. Then he brought his household man by man, and Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zebedee, the son of Zerah. It's incredible. Why do you think God is doing this? Because He's embarrassing the whole family. He mentions him. Make sure you know who his father is, because this is an embarrassment. Okay. Just everybody take a deep breath. Just go, thank you for the blood of Jesus. Amen. Okay, we have a better covenant. Amen. But I want to still show you because you must understand we have this grace, but you must understand that God does not change. Listen, do you really think God was going to say to them, listen, I'm going to utterly destroy you and I'm not going to be with you and I'm not going to be on your side? Do you think He meant it? No. Oh, yes, He did. Okay. Well, whatever. He didn't. He didn't destroy them. He didn't abandon them. Amen. They became so victorious after this. Now watch. Now Joshua said to Achan, my son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and make confession to Him. And tell me now that you have done what you have done. Do not hide it from me. And Achan answered and said to Joshua, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And this is what I have done. You see, we have to understand that at this point, he's making confession, which is really good. Amen. But he completely goes against what God is saying. Now, key number one, it's very important that when we are all moving to be obedient and to be in unity. Amen. Now, I'm not telling you if you don't like what I say that you're sinning and you're going to die. Amen. Okay, please. That's not at all what I'm saying. Okay. But you have to be obedient to what God is saying. If God says something is wrong, you can't decide that you think it's okay. And it's okay for you because you heard some guy say that it's okay. If it's not okay, it's not okay. If it's wrong, it's wrong. Amen. Okay. Amen. You must understand that here at Oceans, I'm going to teach you guys stuff that is going to be uncompromising. I'm going to give you the word that is uncompromising. Is that okay? Amen. Okay. Now watch. Because here comes the first mistake that Achan made. When I saw, among the spoils, a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold, weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. And there they are, hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent, with the silver under it. The first thing we need to take note of is he never saw what Joshua saw. He saw differently. He was skewed in his vision. He could only see what he desired. So it wasn't what God wanted, and he wasn't obedient to the Lord. He was wanting to do it his way. Wow, God must be trying to tell us something. Amen. He wanted to do it his way. We have to desire what God wants for us. You can see his motive was not pure. The question is, with regards to the vision and the purpose that God has for your life, is your motive pure? And is your vision true? Or is your vision self-motivation? Is your vision for the things of this world? I want to be a great preacher because I want lots of gold. I want to be this because I want popularity. I want to do something because of whatever. Or if you see, it's not what God wants for you. So, for example, if you're a lady, you know, you like that nice garment or you like that other man. Hello? Or the man who's, you know, has his own wife, but he wants the other wife. We have to have, our vision has to be clear. We have to be focused. We have to be obedient. As soon as you disobey what God is saying, we get into trouble. Amen. Now, if God says something is wrong, if God says something is evil, guys, it is evil. It is wrong. But here comes the punch. God will move powerfully in your life. And he will give you a vision. He will give us a vision. And then we'll move into destiny. And we'll start to move into purpose. And while we're moving into purpose, we lose focus of the vision that God has given us corporately or individually. And we become self-driven. When we become self-driven, here's the key. What I don't understand about Achan is that he saw the walls fall down. After seeing the walls fall down, you must understand he actually walked over those walls into the city. When you have experienced the power of God, the life-changing power of God, and your vision becomes skewed, your priorities, something has gone wrong, your heart has gotten to a place which just is unbelievable, right? Not only did he go through it and experience God's power, but he went in, stole all the stuff, and then once again goes outside the city. And before he goes outside the city, he once again has to walk over those same walls. Never become familiar when God is busy moving in your midst. Just because it's not going the way that you think it should be. Well, you know, I think I should have that garment. I think I should have that promotion. I think that pastor needs to take note of me earlier. You see, if you begin to change your vision, if the vision becomes skewed, if the vision becomes self-motivated, and it's not what God is saying for you or for us corporately, the fact of the matter is that you get yourself into trouble. Amen. In order for us to go corporately, we have to be in one accord. As soon as someone is not in one accord with us, it can get the whole vision into trouble. In your own personal vision, it works the same way. Listen, in your household, you can have one in your household that can affect your vision and the plans that God has for you. Because the Bible's clear. Get your house in order. Get your church in order. If you're a cell leader, U group leader, get your U group in order. Be obedient. Follow the instruction of God. Let your motive be pure. It's not about you. It's all about him. What is he wanting to do in your life? In order for us to fulfill destiny and vision that God has for us, this is one of the most important and vital keys. It's listening and seeing clearly. It's having vision. Once we have vision, being obedient to what God says, and then making sure that we keep our motives pure and our hearts right. always before Him. Amen. 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 I'm not going to read to you what happens because it's kind of bad. So the guy confesses and they take him out of the city and they kill him. Aren't you lucky? You lucky one, you. That you have grace and the blood of Jesus. Listen, it doesn't matter what you've done up until this point. Pastor Alex talks about unity all the time. You're right, I do. Because every time God moves, there's unity. Every time God does something, there's one accord. Every time God uses people, there's unity. Listen, because of one individual, He stops an entire movement of what He's busy doing, and He puts a curse almost on them. Listen, in this church, we are going to march forward in one accord. Listen, yes, I want to grow the church. I want to see the church grow, but I also want a healthy church. I want a church that knows the truth. I want a church that believes in the destiny and the purpose for their individual lives and for us corporately as well. I want a church that can see the same thing that God is showing me. I want a church that believes that God will give us the city. Listen, I want you to be crazy enough just like I am. I want you to be able to go beyond the realm of the natural. And I want you to be able to see what God has for you. Listen, and it's not because of us. It's not because of our self-motivation or our self-gain. It's because I believe that God still lives and breathes and has His being. It's because I believe that God wants to take this city. It's because I believe that God wants to use you, every single one of you in this room. If you take it, and if you take it, if you begin to see it, if you begin to become obedient, and if you line up with what God is saying, we can take the city, and you can take the vision and destiny that God has for you in your personal life. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Now let me show you something real quick. When the people repented, you must understand now, using it in the New Testament, you must understand, when we repent, when we say to God, listen, God, I know I've messed up. I know I've maybe lost focus. I've maybe lost my way. But now I'm going to line up with you. As soon as things were straight with Israel, watch what happens. Joshua 8, verse number 1. Now the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid nor dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given it into your hands. The king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. And if you read further, you'll see how they utterly destroy Ai. You will be able to utterly destroy everything that the enemy throws at you if you stay obedient, if your eyes are focused on him, and if you stay in unity with what God is saying and in unity with what God is doing in your life. Amen. Amen. Sight, obedience, unity, and vision. Amen. Those are the keys for us to be able to take the city and for you to be able to inherit the things, the promises, the purposes, the plans that God has for your life.
Thanks for joining us. We hope that this message has inspired you in so many ways. If you would like to support our ministry, or if you would like more messages, you can find that at www.oceansunite.com. Once again, we are so excited to have you as a part of the family. Have a wonderful day.